Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today on the broadcast, we are going to continue in our new series of studies, The Riches of God. And today we wish to consider the riches of His mercy. We're going to be reading in the second chapter of the Ephesian Epistle. If you have your Bibles near at hand, we invite you to read with us. The riches of His mercy. We're going to read there and find out the subject of His mercy, His mercy granted, and how that mercy can become available to you and to me. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 we read, "And you hath He quickened, you Ephesians, hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," oh, what a pivotal conjunction. Listen to this, please. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Now here we have our condition, the setting up for the greatness of His mercy. Our condition before God. We were dead in sins, the apostle writes. And he's writing by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. We were dead. We had no life. That's why we must be born again. It's because we're dead. And then we were in the grips of a threefold enemy. We were dead in sins, first of all, separated from God. That's what death is. Physical death is the separation of the body from the soul and the spirit. Spiritual death is separation from God. And they were separated from Him. They were idol worshippers. But now we read other causes why His mercy was so great. We were a part of the world. Did you notice in verse 2? "Which in time past He walked according to the course of this world, that fraternity of men which does not love God and wants nothing to do with Him and is headed for judgment." We, all of us, just like those Ephesians, were on that road once in our life. Now we read the third point and the second enemy. "We were under the influence of Satan." Notice, please, "according to the prince of the power of the air." The prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, and he's causing that disobedience to God. This is none other than Satan. And we were under his control. We were under his influence. "Then we were satisfying the lusts of the flesh," verse 3, "among whom also we had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God." God steps into the picture. Here we are, dead in trespasses and sins, in the grip of the threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. We cannot reach God. He sows unbelief in our hearts. Satan does. The world doesn't want Him. We wanted our way. We wanted our sin. But God steps into the scene. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, given us life, which is in Christ," of course, "by grace you're saved." All right. Now let's think of this, if you will, please. His mercy comes to rescue us in verse 4. Now his love was the root of his mercy, and his mercy was the fruit. We read in the first epistle of John that God is love. He's the very personification of love itself. And here he is now in his love. Mercy springs out of that love. The root meaning of the word mercy is in Strong's concordance, in a good concordance, is compassion and pity that arises from love. Sympathy, it's compassion. God's love was the root, and mercy was the fruit, and the mercies of God were extended to you and to me. And it's that compassion and pity in the heart of God. He did not want us to go to hell. We read in the scriptures, God is long-suffering and not willing that any should perish. He did all he could do to keep us from that awful abyss, which is called hell. Later, in the scriptures, it is called the lake of fire. God so wanted us in his heaven, so realized our condition, that in his mercy to us, he furnished a sacrifice. And that sacrifice was his own son on the cross of Calvary. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is God's love. There is no limit to God's love. That love is open to all the people in this world today. There is absolutely no necessity for any man going to hell if he knows the God of love and puts his faith in him. Now, this is the significance of that pivotal conjunction. But God steps into the scene of the desert of our spirituality, and he brings life. Now, we must not presume upon the mercy of God. I had a man tell me once, and we were talking about spiritual matters. It was a spiritual subject. He says, I'm just counting on the love of God to pass over my sins when I get to heaven, and he'll let me in. He's a God of love. He's not going to send me to hell. Now, that's a false presumption. That's presuming upon the mercy of God. The mercy of God indeed did furnish Christ as our Savior on the cross of Calvary, as our substitute, and he died for you and for me on that cross. But we must not presume upon that mercy. Salvation is a one-on-one relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. A one-on-one relationship. There's a verse in Scripture in the first epistle of John, chapter 5 and verse 12. And we read there, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. We must not presume upon the mercy of God. Now, the door of our access to this, the faith is founded on the finished work of Christ, and our works have nothing to do with it. Let's read down farther in the chapter. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. We're going to be studying that in our very next broadcast, the riches of his grace, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Notice that. It's the exceeding riches of his grace. You know, the Bible doesn't use many adjectives. It's a book of facts, and you don't need adjectives to adorn facts. But he does use them. It is indeed the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. But notice, please, for by grace are you saved through faith. faith opens the door to all these blessings. And that faith must be exercised in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not by works, for by grace are you saved, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God is a giver, and God gives salvation. It is more blessed to give than to receive. You and I have to receive God's salvation, but then we can give it out to others, and that is a blessed experience. And indeed, we need to realize that we have that privilege. But please let me make this plain. It's a one-on-one relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. He is infinite, infinite in his omniscience. You can pray to the Lord. He'll hear you. And I would like to challenge everyone listening to this broadcast. Have you ever told the Lord Jesus that you appreciated the fact that he died for you upon the cross of Calvary? Have you ever told him, in effect, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, please understand this. This must be your experience. This must be your reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you ever had that experience of telling him, I'm putting all the faith I have in you. It's your work on that cross that saves me. It's not my works. My works will not do. They're tainted by sin. But your work was perfect on that cross. And I'm going to go to heaven, not because I deserve it, but because you took me in. Have we ever had that conversation? He'll hear you. He's listening for your voice. Now, the last point we want to make. God wants us to be like him in the showing of mercy. The Lord Jesus Christ taught in the 9th chapter of Matthew. I'm going to read it. I can do nothing better than to put these words into your memory from the Holy Scriptures themselves. And it came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, they that be whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. I don't want your sacrifices. I want to see mercy reflected in you. I want you to be like me. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And here is a very practical expression for the Christian who listens to this broadcast. God wants to see that mercy in you and me reflected to others around us. Our Lord Jesus Christ and Father in heaven, we pray that you will, by the power of your Spirit, impress these thoughts on listening hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.